Welcome to Foresight Friday Roundup, Foresight Health's podcast series for healthcare revolutionaries. Outcomes matter, customers count, and value rules. Hello again, everyone. This is Dave Berta, news editor at Foresight Health. On today's episode of Foresight Friday Roundup, we're going to be talking about COVID-19 and the economy. Early on during the pandemic, some people thought those were two separate issues. You had to pick one or the other. Clearly, those people were wrong. So today we're going to talk about the link between the coronavirus outbreak and the health of the U.S. economy, what we've learned so far about that connection, and what we can do moving forward to simultaneously address both. Our resident experts on Foresight Friday Roundup to comment on these topics are Dave Johnson, founder and CEO of Foresight Health, and Gary Bisbee, co-founder and executive chairman of the Health Management Academy. Dave, Gary, how are things going in your parts of the world?
Morning.
We're chilling and grilling for the fourth, Dave.
happy to hear that. All right.
Gonna have a big block party, Dave.
Yeah. For all the blockheads on our block. Yeah, we're
exactly. Excellent. Before we talk about COVID-19 and the economy, let me ask you both what you've done to help the economy while you're staying at home, protecting yourself from this virus that now seems to be everywhere. Dave, how are you stimulating the economy?
Well, we're still largely in lockdown mode, but with that, I seem to be doing an unprecedented level of home improvement projects. So I am doing a lot for Home Depot right now.
Excellent. Gary, same thing. How are you shoring up our tax base?
Well, I think the Bisbee family is the top five user of Amazon. So that's where we're at.
All right. I'm running a little bit behind you guys. I did keep my scheduled dentist appointment and did finally get my hair cut. So that'll get a little cash flowing out here in Wheaton, Illinois.
Got them all cut, right?
Got them all cut. Classic. All right, let's flow into today's topic, and that's COVID-19 and the economy. Dave, what did some people get wrong about the connection between the pandemic and the economy? And then what did some people get right?
New jobs and unemployment numbers came out yesterday morning early for the 4th of July holiday, and they were good, Dave. New jobs up by almost 5 million, unemployment down to 11%, beat expectations, market up on the news. Unfortunately, the announcement of that good news, those strong numbers, came just as many states where the coronavirus is surging are rolling back the opening of their economies. So back to your question, the biggest thing that people got wrong is believing that they could reopen the economies without having the coronavirus under control. Let's look at Texas. In April, Governor Abbott actually issued an order preventing jurisdictions from fining people for wearing masks. This week, he closed the bars, restricted restaurant seating, and then announced mandatory mask wearing in almost every Texas county. Talk about whiplash. It seems that Governor Abbott could only fight gravity so long. The virus is going to go where the virus goes, and we won't fully be able to open our economies until we get it under control. Driving that point home, Goldman Sachs issued a research report this week that finds that a mandatory mask wearing policy in the U.S. would prevent a 5% GDP loss caused by additional lockdown measures, like we just saw in Texas and many other states. 5% of the U.S. economy is $1 trillion. That's a ridiculously large number. How large? A person would have to live 32,000 years to live a trillion seconds. So from a financial perspective, the investment in public health measures that contain the spread of the virus and allow our economy to function is almost infinite. So we simply can't afford not to take all the necessary public health measures necessary to limit the damage that coronavirus is doing both to the American people and to our economy. Great. Thanks, Dave. Gary, same thing. What's the connection between the outbreak and the economy? What have we learned about that connection over the past few months? And what did we get right and what did we get wrong?
Well, let me go right to data here, Dave. The models that we used just weren't very specific, weren't very sophisticated. So it was an all or none situation. Look, for example, at the health systems where all elective surgeries, many treatments were shut down, totally eliminated for periods of several months. Obviously not good for the economy and obviously not good for people's health. And the regional variation was substantial. So there were many health systems in the country really didn't need to shut down surgery. And if you apply that to the economy in general, I think what we ended up doing was issuing blanket kind of prescriptions that really weren't indicated. And those prescriptions that were indicated, we didn't do it. They made reference to the masks, for example. So masks would have been a really easy thing to mandate from the level of the, from the national level, let's say, wouldn't have been a big hit to the economy, wouldn't have made people eliminate surgeries and treatments. So I think what we got wrong is we just didn't have a very sophisticated model. And as near as I can tell, the models that did exist were a couple of voluntary academic institutions like University of Washington and Johns Hopkins threw tracking models together. I know each health system had to develop its own model, but to me, it's part of what Dave was talking about with public health. We just don't spend money on public health in this country. It's not an exciting thing to focus on. But even a little bit of spending in the area of developing a sophisticated model would have allowed a much more flexible approach to this and would have, I think, been substantial help to the economy, or at least substantially not cut it down the way that we ended up doing.
Got it. Dave, anything to add to Gary's comments, especially about the models at the beginning of the pandemic?
Well, I'm not surprising. I'm in agreement with Gary. We're a healthcare podcast, so let's use a healthcare term. We need to be much more surgical in how we apply lockdown measures as cases rise, and we need to be much more surgical and widespread in doing the basic prevention measures. The other area I'd say where we need to probably change our thinking a little bit, again, aligns with Gary's point of being more surgical, is we need to protect the people that are at the greatest risk of dying from coronavirus. So the elderly and those with comorbid conditions. So we shouldn't be doing these blanket, particularly national measures. We need to be much more precise about what's the goal we're trying to accomplish. Where do we have to intervene aggressively to prevent spread? And how do we protect those that are the most vulnerable? You know, so the blanket authorizations just cause a lot of damage. Wearing masks, as Gary said, even if that is not a big deal. So even if that were blanket one, like Goldman Sachs suggests, look at the potential benefit of that.
Yeah, got it. Thanks, Dave. So we talked about kind of where we went right and where we went wrong, and now let's talk about how we can apply those lessons moving forward. Gary, what can we do, what should we do to deal with both COVID-19 and the economy at the same time, if possible?
Yeah, right. Well, so I think you're absolutely right about moving forward. We're not out of the soup yet. in terms of coronavirus. And if you look at what's going on in Texas, is that still wave one or are we in wave two? And I think probably we're still in wave one there. So we've got a ways to go. And although we're hearing good news about vaccines, by the time that the vaccine is developed and is widely available, we're going to be into next year, clearly. So what can we do? At the top of the list has to be masks. It's easy to do. Doesn't really put anybody out. This whole kind of political issue that's developed over masks is silly. And it doesn't hurt the economy. So, I mean, it's just obvious that there needs to be, in this case, an edict at the national level, which is everybody wears masks, deal with it. Secondly, I think flexibility is important. Both Dave and I are talking about that. I think that we do need to develop a model. We still don't have a really sophisticated, specific model. And I think we can do that relatively quickly with today's technology and analytical capability. But to my knowledge, that doesn't exist. So we need to do that. And that will help us use flexibility as an approach to any given region, any given state. And then, as Dave suggested, I think segmenting the population here would be useful. Obviously, it has to be done carefully, has to be done in a way that's acceptable. But we do need to look at those people with comorbid conditions. I mean, we tend to say age, which is no doubt related, but most of the people that I've seen, at least in my area here in Connecticut, that are dying, it's not so much that they're older, it's just they have multiple conditions that they're dealing with. So it'd be pretty easy to find groups of people with comorbid conditions. And those people, one imagines, probably wouldn't resist being put in a situation where we were going to be helpful to them and keep them out of harm's way. So at any rate, that would be my kind of simple prescription for this whole situation.
Got it. Thanks, Gary. Dave, now that we've established the connection between the outbreak and the economy, and that connection's crystal clear to everyone, or at least anyone listening to this podcast, how should we be triaging both so that we don't fall off the cliff?
Well, each week, Dave, we learn a little bit more about the coronavirus, and for me, anyway, each week the more we know, the more scared I get. The fact that hit me between the eyes this week is that 80% of transmission is coming from asymptomatic people. And it's really, really hard to find and quarantine the asymptomatic people without widespread testing and then subsequent contact tracing. So I just think as a country, we need to prioritize that in addition to the preventive measures that we've been talking about. And I got to tell you, we probably don't have many young people out there, but they got to get with the program. I read this week that the University of Alabama they're throwing COVID-19 parties to see who can get infected first. I mean, how stupid is that? So we need almost a moral imperative from the top down to say, we're only going to, confront this problem and overcome it with a collective effort. And we need everybody to be part of that.
As always, let's talk about next week. Gary, what's on the lips of everyone in healthcare next week?
I do think that we're back. The health systems, at least, are back. Physicians are back practicing now. They're doing surgery. They're doing these complicated treatments. I think that's all good for sure. I think that the main thing, at least from the provider standpoint, is what can we learn from the last several months and apply immediately? And that could relate to telemedicine. It could relate to ambulatory care, waiting rooms. There's a lot of things that we've learned that we need to apply right away. And so I think from the provider standpoint, that's really the topic of particular interest to them.
Got it. Dave, what's the virtual water cooler healthcare conversation next week?
Well, I'm going to make a bold prediction, and it's probably just wishful thinking, but this will be the week when President Trump finally wears a mask. And once he does, it will be all anybody talks about for at least a couple of days.
You can't make this stuff up. All right. Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Gary. Keep spending money, but maybe spend it on supplies for your home like Dave is doing, right? Keep Home Depot in business.
Have a great fourth.
All right. That's all we have time for today. If you'd like to learn more about the topics we discussed, please visit our website at foresighthealth.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Berta for Foresight Health.